Greetings, sisters, Sister Deb from don'tperish.com. Hey, I know I say it every day, but I really mean it. I hope your day is going well and that you're strong in the Lord. Brother James and I are enjoying some more sunshine today after all that rain we had, so this is a joyous thing. He's finishing up his root cellar, and I'm washing clothes and sewing and doing all sorts of Titus 2 things and praising God for the energy and the power to be able to do all this. And let us just be thankful for every day, not worrying about tomorrow. We need to focus on what we're doing today. And so right now I'm focusing on edifying my sisters across the world. So praise God for that. I was just going to share something with you today about not following fables. And I didn't even know what I was going to share today until like Brother James asked me this morning if I wanted a picture. And I said, sure, you can just draw whatever you want. And so he drew a picture of an Easter bunny with a woman standing there that said, he's a lie like Good Friday and Sunday resurrection. And yeah, Easter's coming around and it is a lie. It's a fable. And so anyway, it just made me think about the fables, the lies, the things that people believe that they're just taught without digging for scripture. And Jesus said that he was going to be in the grave 3 days and three nights. And I wanted to read Matthew 12:40. You know, for those of you who don't know all this, I'm not going to teach it all because Brother James has teaching articles on it, and I'll link that in the post that I do. But I wanted to read this here for you so you can kind of get this in your mind. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so I was going to share something with you. When I was younger, I was like this really deep thinker. And I was real quiet, and we had a pretty dysfunctional family, so I had a lot of quiet time. And I remember getting up the nerve to ask my mom, and I say getting up the nerve because we were not a close family. There was like no loving and hugs and all this talking and all this other stuff. It was a very different, unique family. But anyway, so I got the nerve to ask her, I think I was in sixth grade or something, and I asked her, I think it might have been right after Good Friday, which, whatever. Anyway, we would go to the Lutheran service, and they would do the shutting down the lights as the time at 3 o'clock rolls around, and everything would be covered up in black in the altar. And I remember walking out crying every year that we'd go there. And I never understood. Praise God, I was protected from many of the lies in the Lutheran church. But anyway, I remember asking my mom, I was like, how do you get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday? Now, I didn't know much of anything about the Bible. In fact, I was told the Bible was written by men, and it's kind of like a history book, so I didn't really know where to get all the answers. And so I asked my mom, and she said she didn't know and it didn't matter. But it really mattered to me, and it was kind of like a seed in the back of my mind that God used later on. So praise God for that. But anyway, so like talking about fables. Fables means like fiction, untrue, or which pretty much is like a lie. And man-made religion teaches a lot of fables or fiction mindsets, or you just call it outright lies, things that are untrue. And if you really think about it, the denominations are made of man. They're not made of God. So they're a lie in itself. And then it just kind of trickles down from all that. And so all the lies that come out. But anyway, speaking of the man-made religion, I was just going to share something with you about the Lutheran Church. And I can prove that they're just filled with lies. Brother James and I can discern them very quickly against the Word of God, and they're just filled with it. But the Lutheran Church has hypocrisy and mysticism in it. Okay, let's look at baby baptism. They believe that something mystical happens when they pour water on a baby's head. Like they're sealed and like they can just dump water on a baby and push them into the body of Christ. And Brother James has a bunch of teachings on all that. I'm not going to be teaching on that. But they also teach like the Lord's Supper, what they call it, communion. They're just like the Roman Catholics, pretty much. Only they believe in transubstantiation, where the Holy Spirit is on, in, around, where the Catholics, they believe that it literally turns into the body and blood of Christ when you consume the bread and the wine or something. I mean, this is like, those are just two of the great hypocrisy just in the Lutheran Church and all these other denominations. They're lies, they're fables. And we try to get the word out to everybody on that. And those who have ears, they'll hear. But anyway, so We've been warned about lies and fables, and so I thought I would share with you. Let's see, I think I got one, two, three passages I wanted to read. Let's see, 1 Timothy 1, 3 and 4. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than edifying, which is in the faith to do so. So it's outside of doctrine is what he's talking about. 1 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. So once again, we have the comparison of good doctrine versus lies and fables. And here you go, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's that doctrine again. But after their own lusts shall heap up to themselves teachers having itchy ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and should be turned unto fables. And we see that today. Everybody's like running into a building, running after this man and that man and listening to their sermons and whatever. And they're not testing it to the Word of God. All these people running around calling themselves Christians, but they're not getting the full truth out of the Bible. They take a little here, a little there, and then they form their own thoughts, their own theology. They're making their own fables, really. And so I just wanted to like bring this around to us godly women and all the fables, the lies, the fiction that we've heard. And I'll just throw a few of them out. Like, you don't need to submit to your husband because everybody's supposed to submit to each other. And, of course, the Bible does say that we're to submit one to another, but the women are to obey their husbands and reverence him. And you can look in Ephesians and Colossians, and there's other verses in there that go into really good detail about that. But there's some fables out there like that we're constantly hearing. And then how about that you really don't have to cover your head and your hair because your hair is your covering, or your husband's your covering. Or because your husband doesn't like it, you don't have to do it. Those are all lies and fables. We don't want to have itchy ears and hear what we want. We want to go to the truth in the Bible. And it clearly teaches in 1 Corinthians 11 that we're to cover our head. It goes into great detail on it. And then, yeah, think about biblical clothing. And even men have an issue with this, but I'm talking to the women. I just shake my head. I can't believe pieces of material becomes such a huge deal. Women don't want to cover up their head, which means they have pride and vanity. They don't want to cover up their bodies with plain, simple pieces of cloth because they have pride and vanity. And men do too, but we women have to focus on ourselves. I throw the thing in there about men so you know it's not just women. It's the heart of man, pride. But anyway, some of the fables we hear on that is you don't have to dress biblical because times are different today. We just had somebody kind of referencing that. Some false teacher was trying to persuade a younger brother on things. And anyway, then let's see, what else do we hear? God doesn't care what you look like on the outside because he's looking at your heart, they say. But if we look at Jeremiah says that our heart is wicked. And we're not supposed to be going after the heart. Of course, we can get a new heart and a new mind, but we're supposed to show our fruit on the outside, which is obedience. And then if people, like, they see you and they're pushing against the things of God, they say, oh, you're going to scare everybody away if you look like that. Well, if they're afraid of biblical and godly holiness, then they're going in the direction they need to go is the opposite direction. Hopefully someday they repent and come around. But what we've seen is when people see us on the street, yeah, they might look at us like strange. But if they're truly seeking the things of God, like I was, I saw when I was brand new in the faith and I was born again and I was like looking in the scriptures trying to figure out how to be a godly woman. I saw, and I know I've shared this before, some Mennonite women, and they're definitely not dressed biblical, but they have a semblance of something, and God used them, and I was drawn to that. Something in me knew that was something right. I looked like a harlot. I was running around in my jeans and my hair wrapped up. And then, even when I was born again, I was still not dressing biblical in the first place because I didn't know. I was still wearing decorated clothing, and my hair wasn't covered all the way. And so anyway, if people have a heart for the Lord and the Spirit is moving in them, they don't run away from the truth. Their flesh might want to, but the Spirit is just going to drive them to where they go looking for the truth. So don't let anybody try putting all these fables on you. Don't believe them. If somebody wants the truth, it doesn't matter. Your clothing's not going to scare them away. Your head covering's not going to scare them away. If they're truly wanting the truth and they're born again, they will submit to God's will, and that will be something they just learn. And then, wow, in this wicked time, leadership, teaching. We see so many women out there usurping the authority of men in the role of teaching, and their excuse is that times are different today. We hear that all the time. It was so different back then. You know, we even hear that when Brother James tells people, or I have too, you know, Martin Luther was a murderer and Calvin was a murderer. And all these people from the Reformation were so violent. And they're like, well, it was a different time back then. It's like people are people. Why does a time period or an age back then allow somebody to kill people? But today you can't. So if somebody were to do today what they did back then, people today would say, oh, that's okay. No, they wouldn't. They would say, that's not right. It's like people make the most foolish excuses out there. It's, yeah. Anyway, so they also, we hear this one, you know, there's hardly any biblical men out there, so why can't the women stand up and teach? Not right. Because God's word says, no, it doesn't matter. And everybody's looking for excuses. And it kind of makes me think of this time I went into a thrift store and I heard a woman, she was the one running the thrift store, she was talking to some customers in there, and she was talking about the things of faith, and she didn't look like a biblical Christian, but they were talking about it. So when I went and checked out, I started asking her questions about it. Well, turns out she's an ordained minister. She says, I marry him and I bury him. And I said, well, you know, women are not supposed to do that. Oh boy, she got mad. She's like, oh, I knew you were going to go there, but there's no godly men around here. I've been asking some of the men, how come they're not standing up and doing it? And they're not doing it. So God told me to do it. And it's like, anyway, crazy deception out there. And so I guess I'll just tell you the rest of that. I went outside and I told Brother James about it because he was on a business call or something. And then he ended up going in there and talking to her about it. And we were trying to help her out. And she ended up sending us out. She was like screaming at us to get out of there and never come back. So she obviously didn't want the truth. So anyway, some of the other people, they'll use Junia and Phoebe, and they'll claim that one was an apostle and one was an elder. And, you know, sisters, all of this goes against scripture, and they're just all lies or fiction or fables, whatever you want to call it. And we just got to be really diligent to test all things to the Word of God. And definitely we have to shed ourselves of any kind of man-made religion, whatever they taught us and whatever they pounded into our head if you were raised that way. Or even if you weren't in man-made religion, you may be in a home fellowship and people are teaching you lies and stuff. You have to test everything to the Word of God and not what makes us feel good and what fits within our life. You know, because there's a lot of deceivers out there. I want to read 2 Timothy 3:5-7. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses, and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of truth. And so those women are not truly seeking truth. They're seeking after false teachers. And even if they're being deceived by them, you know, because a lot of people say, oh, they're being deceived. You know, poor them, like they're a victim or something. Well, what does the Bible say about that? And I've warned sisters about this. 1 Timothy 2:14. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. So if you look at the word transgression and know what it means, if we transgress God's law, we're in sin. And so Eve was in sin, in her transgression by being deceived. And why? Jesus commands us not to be deceived, because if we allow ourselves to be deceived, he's of no power. He tells us if we seek him, we'll find him. And the book of James says that if we go to God and ask him for wisdom, he'll give it to us. And there could be times we might have be deceived a little bit to a point, but we absolutely have no reason to stay there, because God is a powerful God and he's not a liar. He will help us find the truth. if we're seeking. So if somebody's stuck in a deception, it's probably because they're not seeking and they're not going to God. They're just believing whatever it is or being lazy or whatever. But we can find it if we look for it. But if we just sit back and believe it like Eve did and allow ourselves to be deceived by fables, it means we're believing and practicing a lie. And I use this verse a lot on the streets, what Revelation says about that. Revelation 22, 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So look at that. Look at who's left outside the gates. And then anybody else that loves or makes a lie. Look at all the lies I just exposed. There's thousands of lies out there. And if you're concerned about the glory of God and for your soul, I think you need to be very diligent in the scriptures and seeking for yourself the truth in it and not believing anybody unless they line up with the word of God. So I want you all following after the truth. And just like I told that woman I was witnessing to the other day, if you have a willing heart for the truth, God will give it to you. Praise God for that. He's an awesome father. All right, so that's pretty much what I have for today. And I'm going to go about my works the rest of the day. And praise God for the truth that he gives us and the promises that we have. And Brother James did an audio about the promises and revelations. You should go look that up. It's pretty uplifting. So anyway, I'm going to let you go, sisters, or I could be here talking all day. All right, love to you all. Hold fast. May God be praised.